Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Yeah, this is pretty much where the cool kids hang out. You're on the right side of the street. You're on the right corner of the playground. It is Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN. David is off doing Medal of Honor stuff. So once again, you are stuck with me. And no, I do not know when David is going to return to the show. I do know one thing, that I was correct, because when people told me, oh, he's going to be back in the middle of July, I laughed, I scoffed, and I said, that is a dream. Maybe August, possibly even September, but there's no way he's going to be back on a regular basis by the middle of July. Not after winning, and I'm sorry, not after receiving the Medal of Honor. So David will be back when he gets back to News Radio 930. WBEN. A few days back, I think I mentioned this on the air, I might not have, but he was out in L.A. and was nice enough to send me a picture of the real-life bar, or the real-life building in which the bar, the Alibi, is set on the TV show Shameless. And that kind of made my day. The only thing missing was Kevin and Vi, but, or V, as everybody calls her. So David is certainly seeing a good part of the world all over again, and is living large, is David Bellavia. So we have a lot of things that we could get into today, and I'm going to basically let you guys call the shots. I've been doing that more and more, because every day, you know, I'll come in here with half a dozen ideas of stuff I'd like to do, and I throw stuff out. And I kind of see what takes off and what catches fire with you guys, because you don't want to listen to something you don't like, and I don't want to do something that you're not going to listen to, keeping in mind, of course, and this is a very important consideration that I learned a long time ago, and it is this. It is, you cannot please everybody with each and every topic you present. For example, if I do something light and fluffy, the people who are all into politics come after me, because it was light and fluffy. If I do too many political shows, the people who really aren't into politics that much, they'll come after me and say, oh my God, too heavy. What are you, Rush light, Rush wannabe? Which I'm not. So a lot of stuff exists. By the way, how are you dealing with the heat? I don't know about you, but despite the fact that everything I was wearing last night when I went to Williamsville's old home days celebration and the beer tent was absolutely drenched with perspiration. Almost from the minute I walked underneath that tent, it was bad. You know, Rene Zeno came out to see Flipside at Williamsville's old home days as well. And I knew it was a rough night when the very first thing Rene does is she points to my shirt and she says, what's wrong with your shirt? And then I had to, in a very embarrassed way, tell her, there's nothing wrong with the shirt. That, my dear, is nothing but perspiration. And then I looked at the shirt, and it just looked absolutely awful. That is just not an attractive look, and there's just not a lot you can do about it. Now, when you are engaged in some athletic pursuit, that's one thing. But when you're just standing around in a beer tent, I don't think there's a more unattractive look. So I'm going to find a shirt that I can actually wear that's going to hide the perspiration, because I'm one of those, I get hot very, very easily. My whole life has been a hot flash. And yeah, and so when you get weather like this, it simply exacerbates what is already a sensitivity to the heat. When I was a little kid, I used to run around the house with only my undies on, my tidy whities, when I was 3 years old, up to the time I was about 26, I think, every time, even in the middle of winter, because I was always very heat conscious or heat sensitive, if you will. So, as I said, a lot of things to get into today, maybe, but you're going to be the people who make that call as we move along on WBEN The phone number, 803-0930. That is the regular landline number, 803-0930. The number to call if you're using a cell phone is *930. And the toll-free number is 1-800-616-WBEN. So let's start off with something that is kind of a follow-up to the last several days of shows we have done, at least in some respects. And that is the Trump rally that took place yesterday in North Carolina. There was a chant that arose during the rally. President Trump did not start the chant. There's this misconception, I think, out there that somehow President Trump started the chant. He did not. And the chant about your favorite congresswoman and mine, the chant was, "Send her back." We'll have audio of that coming up as we encapsulate this story. Well, a lot of people were outraged by that chant. But, of course, a lot of people are looking for something over which to become outraged, especially with President Trump. Every single day brings a whole new outrage. I don't know how people literally can be outraged for so long. After a while, it's going to take a toll on your cardiovascular system. It's going to take a toll on your nerves. You are going to be horribly depressed if you are always angry, if you are always outraged, and if you actually go out and look for reasons to be outraged. I don't think that's a healthy physical thing, and I don't think it's a healthy emotional thing over this perpetual state of absolute outrage. I've never seen anything like it. I thought it was bad with President Reagan. It got worse under President Bush, and President Trump is just way over the top in terms of the outrage directed at him. I mean, we could go down an entire list of ways they have tried to come after this president. I mean, remember when Stormy Daniels was going to be the story that knocked Donald Trump out of the water? And like so many other stuff, it was like water off a duck's back. And what a lot of people in the mainstream media, especially at the big time level, don't realize is the bond between President Trump and his core group of supporters. And even if people aren't in a core group of supporters, as long as they're not fervently left, he is saying enough things that are resonating with enough people, obviously, to have a job approval rating somewhere around 50%, give or take. So anyway, at the rally last night, the crowd began to chant, "Send her back," which was directed, obviously, at Congresswoman Omar. President Trump today said he disagreed with that chant, okay? He said he disagreed with it. Matt Drudge on Drudge Report claimed that the president had turned his back on MAGA. He had turned his back on the Make America Great Again people. So I have a few things that I want to ask you guys about regarding this situation. Number one, was it in fact wrong? Was it racist for people at the Trump rally to chant, "Send her back," meaning send her back to Somalia, the country in which Congresswoman Omar was born? Was it wrong to chant that? That is number one. Number two, was President Trump right or wrong in saying that he disagreed with that chant? He didn't do anything to stop it as it was happening, but he also didn't start the chant. He did, as he says in one of the pieces of audio I think you're going to hear, he did start and resume his speech pretty quickly when the chant reached his ears. It didn't go on nearly as long as it could have, and the president started to talk over it at the rally yesterday. And something that you might not realize, when you're on stage and they're all built, George Carlin did a bit on this, you know, auditoriums and speaking places and microphones are set up that the sound is supposed to be projected from the stage to the people in the audience. They're not really built, and it's not really easy to hear what people are saying to you when you are on stage from the audience. There's a lot of noise that goes on at any event. So I don't know what the president heard. I don't know when he heard it. I do know that the chant could have continued for a lot longer, but he did resume his speech that he was giving at the rally. And he certainly, he wasn't waving the send her back flag all over the place when this chant was going on. And he said he disagreed with it. Is that disagreement, this would be question number three, does that disagreement represent Donald Trump turning his back on you? Does this represent Donald Trump turning his back on Make America Great and the people who make it up? Now, this chant, I thought was over the top. At the very least, it was over the top. Because unless somebody is here illegally, this government does not typically send people back unless they've done something illegally or are here illegally. We don't just round people up and say, well, you are anti-American, you don't agree with the administration, so you're going to go back to the country in which you were born, and it is going to be our choice to send you back. You know, generally speaking, that's just not something America does, right? At least I'm not aware of it if it happens. This was not a choice that was presented by the chants from the crowd. See, it's one thing to say, trying to parse this out a little bit, it's one thing to say, why don't they go back? Because that represents a voluntary action. Why don't they go back? President didn't say, I'm going to send them back, or they should be sent back. That was something that came from the crowd, and something the president said was something with which he disagreed. So I put a lot on the table on this particular topic, but again, I think what you have to do is view it in the context of all of the other outrage that we have had dumped upon us pretty much since Donald Trump announced his candidacy for the presidency. And yeah, the United States shot down an Iranian drone not too long ago. They shot down one of ours, we shot down one of theirs. And we'll see where that story leads. Was the send her home chant wrong? Was it un-American? Was it over the top? Did the president do the right thing by saying he disagreed with the chant? Does this represent Donald Trump turning his back on Make America Great Again? And some of the reaction, by the way, to the rally was fascinating from the left. We had one guy, was it Piers Morgan, who said it was like a fascist rally. In what sense was it like a fascist rally? It was raucous. It was enthusiastic. People might have chanted things that you didn't agree with, but were they espousing fascism? Or were they? I think what you're seeing when somebody goes over the top on the right, you know, it's kind of like, you know, think about a hockey game. Probably not the best example, but this is kind of a story about people being frustrated and having their frustrations being totally pent up. And then finally, when they do react, they go over the top because you can only swallow so much BS. You can only swallow so many affronts to your sensibilities. You can only swallow so much of being told that you are a racist and a bigot and a xenophobe. And the list goes on. No matter what you do, that when you do react, there's a chance, like in a hockey game when guys get pushed around all night long, all night long, all night long, then finally in the third period they take their stick and conk somebody over the head with it. That is a sign of frustration. That's a sign of pent-up feelings, pent-up emotions. I think that what they chanted last night I think was wrong. Was it racist or was it a patriotic expression directed at somebody of whatever color who seems not to have very many good things to say about what is her adopted homeland? Racist? I don't know. I think that is a stretch. Was it un-American? Yeah, I think you could probably make the argument that it's un-American because I don't think we want a government that takes people who disagree with the direction of the country and sends them away for that reason. Of course, we used to do worse to people who were communists. Now, that is kind of a part of American history. We didn't want communists in the United States. There were people who got sent overseas. A lot of people got sent to Russia in the early part of the 20th century because they were viewed as dangerous people, subversive elements to have in the United States, not just during the anarchist period around the turn of the century, but also during the Red Scare period around the 1920s. People like, I think it was Emma Goldman, she was sent overseas. There was this guy who was a failed assassin, an anarchist assassin, who was sent overseas, almost succeeded in being an assassin, but he seriously wounded this industrial magnate. But I don't think, as a point of opinion, that we want to live in a country where the government is in charge of, quote, sending her back. Making the statement that you wish somebody would go back is not the same as saying send her back. The one is forced and the other is more voluntary. But I found it interesting, and I don't know that it's accurate for Matt Drudge to write on his site that the president turns his back on MAGA. I think that that is that's not quite right. President Trump is well aware that the Make America Great slogan is one of the things that propelled him into the presidency. Didn't hurt that he was running against Hillary Clinton, but that's one of the things, one of the branding elements that helped him. And proof of the president's recognition of that is, what is his slogan for 2020? He announced that just a few weeks ago. Yeah, it's a play on Make America Great Again. So I think it's stupid to suggest that the president is turning his back on Make America Great Again. Far from it. He's plunging into 2020 using that exact same branding mechanism. All right, let's go to Kevin in Jamestown. First up on WBEN. Kevin, you are on.
Yes, Tom, I was scanning the TV the other day, and I hit C-SPAN, and I saw they were in the House chambers, and that Omar was in charge of this thing at the House, and they were talking about Israel, Iran, and this, that. How could she even be in charge of that? It was amazing. She's sitting in a chairman's seat with her hat on, and I couldn't believe it.
Well, I mean, the hat is really immaterial. Did she say anything that was, the headgear really doesn't matter. I mean, in the United States in 2019, we have people of all races, all religions, and everybody needs to be treated fairly. The reason why we should not like somebody is for what they believe in and what they stand for and maybe certain things they say.
Yeah, her racist comments about Israel, she shouldn't even be on that committee. She shouldn't be in charge.
You don't regard her as well, of course, see, politicians don't have to be journalists. They don't have to have objectivity or even the pretense of objectivity. Certainly President Trump doesn't, and neither on the other side does Omar. I mean, I understand your concerns. You know, do you really want somebody hyper-partisan even serving on such an important committee?
Right.
So, I mean, did she say something particularly that got under your skin, something that got your goat? What was it?
Yeah, it was just her in charge of any of the things in the United States. I just can't believe it.
Hey, was it her Muslim headgear that threw you?
No. It's just all the things she has said that are race special. She's just out of Israel's business for sure.
All right, and what do you think of President Trump saying he disagreed with last night's chant of send her back?
I wouldn't disagree, but, you know, he's... Wait till everything comes out next month or so. Then we'll see what's going on.
Everything comes out about what?
About all the stuff they've been trying to get on Trump. It's all going to come out with the AG and his report.
Oh, well, don't worry, because even if nothing comes out at all, there will be a fresh outrage. Every day, as I just got through saying, every day brings a fresh outrage. It is an endless well of outrage from which a lot of people seem to be drinking lately. It never stops.
Jail over that, Tom.
Well, and let me just share something else with you, too. Whether it is Donald Trump, let's say Donald Trump says, I've had enough of this job and I'm quitting. I'm not actually going to run in 2020. Is there anybody out there who thinks whatever Republican takes up the mantle of the Republican Party, even if they are centrist, middle of the road, pusillanimous, Casper milquetoast, anybody doubt they're going to be called a racist? Anybody doubt they're going to be called a bigot or a xenophobe? That's the playbook.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Yeah. Bowerly and Bellamy and News Radio 930 WBEN. Welcome. Yeah, the United States shot down an Iranian drone, and that's about it. I mean, it does not mean that a war is necessarily imminent, doesn't mean that anything else is necessarily imminent. Just means the United States shot down a drone, just like the Iranian shot down an American drone a few weeks back. So President Trump at the rally last night, at the rally last night, people were chanting, "Send her back," a reference to Congresswoman Omar. Today, the president has said he disagrees with that chant. Some people are saying that that equals disavowing the chant. I mean, we could quibble over words and their meanings, but he says he disagrees with it. I'm sure he doesn't want to hear that chant in the future. And the chant does give ammunition to people who are already extremely labile and will find ammunition in the most innocuous thing. So why even come close to being over the top? Because you're going to get called a racist and a xenophobe anyway. Of course, some would say, well, if I'm going to be called that anyway, I might as well make it count. For example, one of these actors, Chris Pratt, Jurassic Park, he's in trouble now because he's wearing a T-shirt with the snake from the Gadsden flag on it. And that is racist. And this is one of those things. Don't worry, I've got some light topics coming up as well. But this is, as I said at the beginning, kind of a follow-up to some of the shows we've done in the past few days. I just want to find the article about Chris Pratt and the T-shirt. Hold on just a minute. We had a lot of feedback on that, and I'm just trying to find the feedback that makes the most sense. I had it all fired up, and then it went away on me. Sorry for the delay. Unfortunately, I'm just trying to find this article about Chris Pratt being called a racist and some of the people who are getting behind Chris Pratt. Here we go from AmericanMilitary.com. Navy SEAL and Purple Heart recipient Marcus Luttrell and a company called Forged Clothing showing their support for actor Chris Pratt and the Gadsden flag after Pratt came under fire and was labeled a white supremacist for wearing a Gadsden flag T-shirt. Forged Clothing originally posted a message in support of Pratt, which Luttrell shared on Instagram. And here's what it says. "We at Forged Clothing would like to address the ridiculous accusations that Pratt supports white supremacy because he wears our Don't Tread on Me T-shirt. First and foremost, we are a Navy SEAL-founded, patriotic, and military-inspired brand. Our CEO and members of our Forged team served alongside military service members of all races, cultures, and ethnicities. As we fought for our country, many of us wore the first Navy Jack flag on the sleeves of our uniforms, which the Gadsden Military Authorized flag is based on. This incredibly powerful symbol was one of the first flags flown by our Continental Navy since 1776 and is still widely used by our military forces today." But that is in response to Chris Pratt being called a white supremacist and a racist because he's wearing one of the Forged Clothing Company's T-shirts with the Gadsden flag. So to circle around just a little bit, this story about Chris Pratt in and of itself, I guess we can kind of chuckle at and just shake our heads over, but the snowflake element in America is really interesting to behold because I don't know if it is a snowflake element where people are genuinely hurt by this. I mean, do people really believe with their minds and their hearts that wearing this T-shirt makes somebody a white supremacist? Or are they fishing for propaganda points for the daily news cycle? I suppose it really doesn't matter because people on our side are just plain sick of it. We don't want to walk on eggshells because we happen to believe what we believe, and we oughtn't to be called racists for doing something very, very innocent with absolutely no racist intent whatsoever in wearing a Gadsden flag T-shirt, which, as the people from Forged Clothing Company that makes the T-shirt, you know, they say, look, this is ludicrous. This is, it's beyond the pale. But unfortunately, as we've talked about the last few days, everything now, in terms of what is being said about people on the right, is really over the top and just without any basis in fact in so many cases. And this Chris Pratt T-shirt thing is just one of them. But I guess there's a good side to this, and it is this, and this has actually been the case for quite some time. The word racist, remember back in the 1970s and early 80s, and actually extending up until the relatively recent past, that was a black mark for anybody to be called a racist. It was the worst thing. People would be in dread and in fear of their careers over being labeled as a racist. But that particular word has been used so much, so often, so unfairly, so indiscriminately, so much without discretion, that it really doesn't have the sting that it used to have because it has been so overused in false instances like Chris Pratt. Now, if somebody is a member of the Ku Klux Klan, yeah, they are a racist. If somebody is a member of a white supremacy group, yeah, they're a racist. And they should be called racist because that's what they are. And surprise, surprise, it wouldn't bother them to be called racist. If somebody is a member of a black supremacy group, yeah, they're racist. But I don't know that most of us walk around in the United States, even Trump supporters, as racists. We get sick of being called racist, especially when we know what we are and are a far stone's throw from being racist, but it's been so overused, it just is ineffective. It goes, seriously, do you have the same reaction now as you had years ago when somebody is called a racist, or if somebody on Twitter or Facebook says that to you, oh, you are such a racist? Now, especially when you know you're not, it's something you can almost wear as a badge of honor, that you have so infuriated somebody that they are going into the playbook, they're going into the toy box of insults, and they're pulling out something that is very hateful and very inaccurate and trying to smear you with that particular brush. Now, I said at the beginning of the show, we have a lot of other things we're going to get to today, and I want to introduce you to them. Here's another one for you. Obviously, the heat is something that is on everybody's mind. Everybody is paying attention to the weather. And when we have heat index values in the forecast for Friday and Saturday of near 108 degrees, we're not used to that in Western New York. My question to you is, given the choice between weather like this and weather that is to come, and the biting sub-zero temperatures of wintertime, and does anybody else remember the blizzard? Does anyone else remember it was just a matter of months ago where we were on the radio saying, don't go outside unless you have to. If you go outside, dress in layers. We are talking about severe minus zero wind chills. What would you rather have, severe cold or severe heat? And I think you guys probably know where I'm going to come down on this. Phil Kennedy completely disagrees with this because Phil Kennedy is wrong, as I find him to be about most things in life. But give me the heat, even though last night, absolute hot mess, as I told you, at Old Home Days in the beer tent, the most unattractive look in the world is sweating profusely and having your clothes absolutely drenched in perspiration, even if you smell good. There is no way to not look like a slob under those circumstances. Despite that, give me the heat any day. As far as cooling off, where and what is the best thing to go, or the best thing to do and the best place to go in order to beat the heat? I said heat with an H. Where do you go and what do you do to beat the heat? And I must admit to you, in all honesty, that if we didn't have the great luxury and invention of air conditioning, I don't know that my answer would still be the heat. Give me the heat. So what is your preference? Ultra cold or ultra hot? Would you rather have a heat index of 108 degrees or a wind chill temperature of minus 30? And forgive me, but there's something that just seems unholy and inhumane about going outside and not being able to feel your fingers when you're trying to shovel your car out of a drift. Especially those of us who may have backed into the same drift three different times during the last blizzard we had, whose wonderful neighbors and neighborhood teenagers helped him out of a jam so he could get to work. Don't know who that idiot would have been, but you might be hearing his voice right now. Let's go to Bill. First up, this segment in Williamsville. Bill, you're on WBEN. Welcome.
Tom, how you doing?
Best day of my life, and I'm living the dream.
There you go. You only have today. Tomorrow is not here, and yesterday is gone. So, as far as, again, I know I've talked to you numerous times on different subjects and that, but this whole thing, you know, I think the animus and all that, I think it's so driven by the media. Every chance they get, they're going to jump on it and that. And unfortunately, or say fortunately, maybe Channel 4 now is limited here in Buffalo. But unfortunately, a lot of Buffalo, a lot of New York seems to listen or slide towards the left on so many things, and they don't read, they don't investigate things, and they stick with their ignorance and that. So as far as that goes and being patriotic, do I feel the president, like you sometimes, maybe is a little crass? But I like the guy. I think he's great. He's not a professional politician. I like the fact that he's a businessman. He says what he thinks.
I do think sometimes he steps into a steaming pile of crap when he really didn't have to.
Yes, I do. I think he does that, and I think that sometimes he does come out smelling like a rose. And there's been times I wince at what he says. But basically, I like his I do like, and I think he's a true patriot. As far as keeping cool, Fran and Seals on South Park ice cream, super.
Is it all made right there? It's their homemade version of ice cream?
They do. They've been there, I've got over 60 years, well over 60 years.
But the real question here is, would you rather be freezing them off and not able to find them or sweating them off?
Never. Like you said, I know you lived in Tampa. I lived in the southern part, further south, Fort Myers area, for years and years. But I used to joke with my friends. I remember on the October storm with all that and the power out and the freezing and this and that in October. And I was speaking to somebody, a friend up here, and as I was speaking and talking about the weather and that, I said, oh, he goes, what's wrong? I said, well, the sun got in my eyes. a little joke.
Yeah.
I always thought it's crazy. Who's crazier? To warm up your house from 0 to 70 or 80 or to cool your house from, say, 100 to 70 or 80?
There is no ideal place. There is no perfect place to live. No. Give me this heat, though, over winter any day of the week, even though I have to live in air conditioning. Glad you called. Thanks very much.
Take care.
Do you prefer excessive heat or do you prefer the cold stuff when it comes? There's something else that I think we really have to get into if response to Facebook is any indication at all. You know, in our lives, we hit certain watershed moments, or as I call them, certain Waterloo moments. We're going to get into some of those moments. What is he talking about? We're going to get into some of those moments and enlighten you as we move along after the news at 4 on WBEN. So far, what we've set the table with was the send her back chant regarding Congresswoman Omar at President Trump's rally last night. Was that over the top? I think it was over the top. it seemed, I'm sorry to say it, but it seemed un-American to me, because I think that there's one thing that we can all agree on in the right and on the left, that we don't want our government to have the authority to just willy-nilly, without any reason whatsoever except political disagreement, send people back to whatever country they were born in, or to send people to whatever country that will take them. I don't think we want the government to do that. Now, do we wish that people of their own free will and volition, who have nothing good to say about America, would get the hell out? Well, most people on the right would say, yeah. But the other thing we've got going is the weather and the extremes of weather. Better to have too much heat, better to have too much cold. Would you rather it be minus 20 degrees right now, or what it is right now and what is forecast to hit us? And we've also got the Waterloo moment thing coming up here on News Radio 930 WBEN. So we're going to have some fun and lighten things up a little bit for you on this radio program.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.